You're listening to
V for Vertigo,
episode 35.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Ahoy, hoy, and welcome to V for Vertigo, and one man's journey into the world of all things Vertigo Comics, because everything else is just picture books. I'm your host, Mark Johnson, and this week will be a normal episode, and I'll review Madame Xanadu, Disenchanted. Now, since there might be a few new listeners because of the Karen Berger interview, I figure I might as well take a few seconds to explain what the show is exactly about. Every week, for about 30 minutes, I spend a few minutes talk about what happened to me or what's on my mind during the week, then go over to Vertigo News, and lastly, pick a trade I've read, give a little summary, and review it. It's simple as that. Bada bing, bada boom. Now, it's just me, since my former co-host left, but I'm always open to guest hosts and will hopefully, occasionally have guest hosts. We'll see. As far as it's gone, people have just let me down, one after another. Speaking of which, let me... I don't really know if I want to explain any more of this show. Oh, yeah, I guess I will. Now, if you don't like solo podcasts, or I'm not entertaining enough for you, my mind does tend to wander like it just did a few seconds ago, and I do kind of sing from time to time and get a little crazy, cause I'm a crazy boy and I'm giving it away, you probably won't like me. Now, if you don't like the smart-ass, sarcastic, smug son of a bitch in your group, you're not gonna like me, cause that's what I am. But I'm not that bad. You just take things entirely too seriously if you don't like me. And you gotta get your head out of your ass and get that stick out of your ass, too. You gotta loosen up, right? Cause who cares? Or if you don't understand sarcasm or get it, which a lot of people don't. And this is not, I mean, this is the internet, because this is where you're downloading from, but it's not forums where you can't really tell people's tones. If you can't tell my tone, Jesus Christ, well, you're not going to get sarcasm. You're probably very gullible. And yeah, you just stop now. But don't take me seriously if you are somewhat interested, because I don't take what I say seriously. I don't really take much seriously. However, I still mean what I say. I just don't care about them as much as other people say. So there you go. Oh, I'm also very insightful and can analyze things like nobody's business. And if I do say so, I can predict the future. I am smart, not humble. So, this week, I was supposed to have a guest host, but you know, she flaked on me. Fancy that, a girl flaking on me. You know, I'm getting real tired here of dealing with girls, and I ain't talking about girls. This is how I'm defining a girl. This will not apply to everyone. This will apply to most, damn near most, like 90 some odd percentile of the opposite sex. Under 35. If you're a girl and you're under 35, or if you're a female and you're under 35, you're a girl. If you're older, you're a woman. That is my new thing now. And I'm tired of dealing with girls. Because what do girls do? They're flaky. They don't know what they want.
You're listening to
V for Vertigo,
episode 35.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Ahoy, hoy, and welcome to V for Vertigo, and one man's journey into the world of all things Vertigo Comics, because everything else is just picture books. I'm your host, Mark Johnson, and this week will be a normal episode, and I'll review Madame Xanadu, Disenchanted. Now, since there might be a few new listeners because of the Karen Berger interview, I figure I might as well take a few seconds to explain what the show is exactly about. Every week, for about 30 minutes, I spend a few minutes talk about what happened to me or what's on my mind during the week, then go over to Vertigo News, and lastly, pick a trade I've read, give a little summary, and review it. It's simple as that. Bada bing, bada boom. Now, it's just me, since my former co-host left, but I'm always open to guest hosts and will hopefully occasionally have guest hosts. We'll see. As far as it's gone, people have just let me down one after another. Speaking of which, let me... I don't really know if I want to explain any more of this show. Oh, yeah, I guess I will. Now, if you don't like solo podcasts, or I'm not entertaining enough for you, my mind does tend to wander like it just did a few seconds ago, and I do kind of sing from time to time and get a little crazy, because I'm a crazy boy and I'm giving it away, you probably won't like me. Now, if you don't like the smart-ass, sarcastic, smug son of a bitch in your group, you're not going to like me, because that's what I am. But I'm not that bad. You just take things entirely too seriously if you don't like me. You gotta get your head out of your ass and get that stick out of your ass, too. You gotta loosen up, right? Because who cares? Or if you don't understand sarcasm or get it, which a lot of people don't. And this is not, I mean, this is the internet, because this is where you're downloading from, but it's not forums where you can't really tell people's tones. If you can't tell my tone, Jesus Christ, well, you're not going to get sarcasm. You're probably very gullible. And yeah, you just stop now. But don't take me seriously if you are somewhat interested, because I don't take what I say seriously. I don't really take much seriously. However, I still mean what I say. I just don't care about them as much as other people say. So there you go. Oh, I'm also very insightful and can analyze things like nobody's business. And if I do say so, I can predict the future. I am smart, not humble. So, this week, I was supposed to have a guest host, but you know, she flaked on me. Fancy that, a girl flaking on me. You know, I'm getting real tired here of dealing with girls. And I ain't talking about girls. This is how I'm defining a girl. This will not apply to everyone. This will apply to most, damn near most, like 90 some odd percentile of the opposite sex, under 35. If you're a girl and you're under 35... Or if you're a female and you're under 35, you're a girl. If you're older, you're a woman. That is my new thing now. And I'm tired of dealing with girls. Because what do girls do? They're flaky. They don't know what they want. They whine. They say, I don't get it. I've dealt with some girls and they say yes. And then they don't say no. They just... You don't hear from them. It's like, yo, what? Really? Seriously? You just said yes, we were working things out, and then you're not. I mean, if you're not interested, or if you're not seriously going to give away a contest, thanks there, Rachel, then don't be saying yes, or don't be trying to do all this shit. It's really sad. Now I know why moms love me, because I am rather charming. But those girls, the girls, they want the bad boys. Girls haven't grown up. You know when you're in high school and girls are like, oh, the guy is so immature. I want the man. I will go out with this 23-year-old. I know I'm 17. I didn't really grow up in SoCal in my high school years, but you get the point. So it's like the girls are just, the girls, they're mature in high school. Suddenly when they hit 18, bang, when they go to college, they get all wild. They get all wild all through their 20s. And then something happens in the early 30s where they turn it around. Now, guys are the opposite. We're stupid. We're childish. We're dumbasses in our teens. And when we get to college, Yeah, some of us hit the binge every weekend or whatever, do the drugs, blah, blah, blah. But even though a lot of us do that, we still take the time to handle our shit. And guys, we'll handle our shit and then we'll wilding out. You know, majority of us. Can't say all of us. But girls, they get too wild for guys. And then we're just like, whoa. So I'm tired of dealing with girls. Look, girls, if you're not interested in coming on the show or whatever, just say no. Say no. What's wrong with saying no? I hear no all the time. Can I get your number? No. Would you like to go out? No. Eh, but then I hit these things where I'm not really interested in them that way. Would be nice. And then it's like, yeah, sure, I'd love to. And then I don't hear a no. I'm here waiting. I'm like, okay, trying to set something up, and then nothing. So I would like to thank Karen Berger for being a woman and Pamela Mullen for also being a woman. I cannot deal with girls. And I'm through with girls. And I mean that in the most non-gayest, I still like hooking up with girls way. But I'm through with girls. I want a woman. I want to deal with women. It sucks being 27. I have to wait a few more years because I'm just dealing with moms. And I'm like, oh, moms, you're so cute. Well, hook me up with your daughter then. Oh, she's got a boyfriend. And she's going out with some jerk jackass with no direction. I'm like, oh, hear the same story every fucking time. I damn this rant. I completely forgot where I was. Okay, so rant aside, I would like to thank Comic Geek Speak. Much love to Comic Geek Speak, especially my favorite hosts, Peter and Jamie, for their shout out in episode 700. If you don't know what I'm talking about, here it is.
V for Vertigo. Link Karen Berger.
Link it. Karen Berger.
We haven't even great get.
How pissed am I that we haven't even got
that
a Karen
such
Berger.
A great get. I couldn't awesome. Believe it when yeah. he said
that's
that.
That's fantastic.
That is awesome.
Oh
and don't believe we haven't tried. Because I've tried.
Yeah.
And he got him. That's awesome. I'm going to have to listen to it.
Yeah.
So do that.
And that was one hell of an episode. Especially the last 20 or 30 minutes where... See, Peter went on his little rant. He went on his little drunk rant. I do my rant sober. And then when I'm drunk, I just act goofy. Or, I don't really drink. I tend to stay up for like 20 plus hours, which is apparently the equivalent of not drinking, or drinking a lot. And then it's like I'm drunk. So there you go. Then I act goofy. And do more singing and dancing. Ah, those are the days. So yeah, go listen to... I know a few of you, mainly my friends. If you're interested in comics, you want an all-around comic podcast. I like to listen to Comic Geek Speak, so go listen to them. They're good. Now, most of you have heard of Comic Geek Speak. And if you're listening to CGS, you should email peter@comicgeekspeak.com if you want to do like a Halloween horror special episode. I'll be doing one that will be released... on Halloween. I have some ideas. I've kind of got the ball rolling on that a bit. I hope they're good. If they're not, it's free, so stop complaining. Now, last weekend, I did something. Something happened to me that I never happened before, right? I went to a comic book sale in Sunnyvale. It was like a little over an hour away. It took me more like 2 hours. Thanks to running in the traffic 2 times. And then when I left, ran back on the way out. That was great. Hit traffic on 3 different freeways. But I went to Master Higgins's from the Geek Box sale. And I met an alright dude from the boards. He's kind of old. I'm just messing with you, dude. Even though you are old, you know, 37, that's old. So, but... I ended up talking with him. Now I was gonna meet him there, so Trevor, you don't really count, and then Master Higgins kinda counts because I knew him from the podcast. But I was talking with them, and then like a random one or two other guys, and it was cool. It was weird. I had that vibe of why people go in the LCSs every week. It was strange though, because I've never experienced that. I don't think I've ever been to a good comic book store. Correct me. I occasionally go to some now, but I know the owner at one, and I know the guy that works at another, and I go for gaming. So, yeah, that's not fair. But if I go to, like, just random comic book store up the street, majority of my life have been comic book guy from The Simpsons. Ironically enough, with the exception of my first ones in the area where I lived, an old couple ran it. It wasn't clean, which is fine. Most of them aren't. But the customer service was good, and they would figure out what I'd like and give me these little, like, my grandparents would buy 10 to 20 comics in a bag. I'd read those, and those were great. I missed that comic book store, actually. That was it, but mostly I'd buy my shit from drugstores and stuff. I'd ride my bike all the way to Long's, which was, Jesus Christ, a couple miles, like the fourth grade. But that's like the only good comic store experience. But I had fun at Comic Conspiracy. I was shocked. And later that night, I saw the greatest movie ever hanging out at my boy's house. Bill Maher's Religious. Now, if you've not heard this before, I'm an atheist. God damn, that movie was good. It has little to do with the fact that I despise the three major religions. And I was laughing my ass off when he made fun of them and showing how stupid they were. It was just that his whole point of the movie was that he doesn't know what happens. And yet he would interview these people that knew. They'd have the most ridiculous, like, analogies. Like, oh, well, it is to this ant. And then we are like, the ant doesn't know anything about us. And I wish Bill Maher had said, well, if we're the ants to God, then what the hell do you know? But no, it was just great. Like, there would be those moments where they'd look, they just didn't get the joke or his sarcasm, and then there'd be words at the bottom, and they'd just point out fallacies in the argument. Like, well, if you believe you're going to go to heaven after you die, why don't you just kill yourself now? And the guy would be like, and then even there was some religious old dude that worked for the church. His was probably the best interview. Mainly because he was, like, him and another old dude were the only guys, they believed in God, but they believed in what Bill Maher said also. This old scientist dude that worked for the church, I gotta buy the DVD. He said that he wished people didn't take what was said in the Bible so literally and would instead treat it as, like, fairy tales, as fables, as morality tales. And he's like, this shit is so ridiculous. This is not to be taken literally what's happening in the Bible. He's like, here's a block of time. Science has only been around the last 200 years. Look, these 1,000 years beforehand, that stuff made no sense, and you're going to apply scientific data to all that crap. You're going to supply the scientific method to where in a section of time when there was no science. That guy was cool. But, it was fascinating. I really liked it. So even if you are religious and think I'm going to burn in hell, fine. Go watch the movie. You might enlighten, question things, right? You're human. That's what we do. We question things. And then lastly, the last thing I want to talk about is when I was at my boy's house, we played a little rock band, Beatles. And I'm not feeling rock band Beatles. I don't get what the big deal of Beatles. I'm not even sure why I start calling it Beatles and where I got that from. Probably a movie or a show or something. Rock band Beatles is it's not good. I tweeted this once, like, does anyone like Beatles? Is this just me? I just don't like it. And then I don't want to. It probably is a race thing, but people that responded, they're like, I don't also. They were also black. I'm thinking black people, we don't like Beatles. I didn't like Beatles in the rock band game because I listen to mostly the hip-hop, R&B, rap, and all that, right? Surprise, surprise. But I listen to a little bit of everything from classical to some Japanese pop to some rock. Now, the problem I have with rock band Beatles was going through the songs, all like 10 of them. You couldn't really rock out, man. I'm like, no, I want to rock out. These are all kind of slow. I haven't played a Guitar Hero Rock Band in probably since January. And I'm on medium, and it's easy as pie. And my friend says, "Why are you too hard?" I'm like, "Well, I don't fucking play this game. I don't own any of this shit. I'm too hard, Mark. Too hard." So, yeah, Rock Band Beatles is not good. I'm on rock songs. I don't get all the fucking video game boners over this shit. It's definitely not a colored person's game. Yet I was playing with colored people. So go figure. Yeah, that's all I gotta talk about. So let's go on to the news.
Vertigo News.
Now, there's really only one news item of note. As Karen Berger mentioned last episode, Joe the Barbarian by Grant Morrison and Sean Murphy will now be 8 issues. Preview pages are up, and judging from the pages, art looks good. Story looks rather intriguing. This would be one of those where I should probably just buy it in issues and stop at 6, maybe 7. Because the last issue will make no sense. But I'll probably buy the trade. And then I'll be like, why did I buy this? It's Grant Morrison. I started off so well. I had a good idea. The ending sucked. Made no sense. So, that's all I got for the news.
And now it's time for the rundown.
Now, before we get to the main topic of Madame Xanadu, I would like to review Jeff Lemire's Sweet Tooth Number 1, which is strange, because it actually says Jeff Lemire Sweet Tooth at the top. Is Jeff Lemire a big name? He's really only done a couple of things. I don't know. Very strange. So here's my review, since Karen hated on me for not picking it up. It's $1. Go buy it instead of a candy bar. And if you're an American, or if you're an American, or I was going to say America or American, I couldn't figure. Or if you're in Western Europe, yeah, definitely buy it instead of a candy bar, because we could stand to lose a little weight. Now, my thoughts are, this is my first Jeff Lemire book. Art, don't care for it. It's alright. I was tempted to buy his Essex County while I was at Comics Conspiracy. Opened it up. The art there just sucked. Didn't really feel like it. And I didn't feel like I wanted a book that would quote unquote make me cry. I cry myself every night to sleep while I go to bed in my mansion and money, fame, yet all alone. Alone. Is it me you're looking for? So, yeah. The art's gotten better. I'm intrigued by the story. I'll buy the first trade. I can already tell you how the review for the first trade is going to go. Yeah, it's alright. It's $9.99 though, so you should get it. I'll probably pick up the second trade to see how it goes, and if it sucks, I won't be buying anymore. Yeah, that would be my review for the trade, but, you know, I didn't want another blanket, so I didn't buy Zestus County. I do want to get the Nobody, but hardcover? Not so much. So, time for Madame Xanadu. I wish I had someone who actually knew DC more than I did to talk about this, because I know nothing about Madame Xanadu. Now, Madame Xanadu is by Matt Wagner, Amy Reeder Hadley, and Richard Friend. Ooh. I'm betting you he got made fun of a lot in school. No, that sounds wrong. I also got made fun of a lot of things rhyme with Mark. Now, I bought this because I heard a lot of good things about it, and you know, Jamie D heavily endorsed it, and unlike Brian Deemer, I like Jamie D's picks. His are good. His generally don't let me down. Now, I was hesitant to buy it at first, because what do I know about the DCU? More than most people that don't read comics, but less than anyone that reads DC. I know nothing. And I know nothing about Madame Xanadu. I think of Madam, I think of Xanadu, and I think of that cheesy 80s movie with the laser lights and shit. You know what I'm talking about. The dance numbers and stuff. YouTube it. I'm going to YouTube it, actually. But it's 10 issues, cheap, and I like magic. So, since this is 10 issues, it's kind of hard to give a summary. But luckily, it's the same story repeated for the entire trade. Yet, as much as you think it would, it doesn't bother me. Now, before Madame Xanadu was Madame Xanadu, she was a forest nymph named Nimue. We're going with Nimue. Now, Nimue was a pretty naive yet powerful entity. I didn't drink today. She likes to peer into the future to see what's going to happen. Now, she wants to save Camelot and is visited by the Phantom Stranger, who tells her that bad things are going to happen and that she must stop her lover, Merlin. She does, but not before he's able to summon the demon Etrigan. And Merlin also gets rid of the damn forest nymph's powers. Now, for the next few centuries, Nimue has various aliases, and the one she keeps, or that tends to stick with her, is Xanadu. Now, she keeps making potions that continue to make her young and immortal. Now, without spending too much time talking about the periods she's in, without getting into too much detail, she goes from Kublai Khan's court, grandson of the great Genghis Khan, and she meets Marco. Come on, people, say it with me. Marco Polo, who likes popping up in Vertigo comics. After that, she goes through the whole Viva la French Revolution and the whole off with their head things. And it's there she meets Death and gets Death to leave her alone. And coincidentally gets her powers back. No, I think they come back completely. I'm not entirely sure. And after that, it's Jack the Ripper. Jack the Ripper. That's from the Cannabis album. I don't remember which one. Might be Rip the Jacker. It's not 2000 BC. Anyways. And finally, after the whole Jack the Ripper, she's in America. Prelude to World War Dos, and is sleeping with everyone's favorite half-naked magician, Satana. She's sleeping with her dad. Now, through all of that, she's constantly trying to stop the things she sees and save the people and land she ends up caring about for living there. Now, her problem is she hesitates. She's always wondering if she could, or if she should, stop the things she sees, and because of what the Phantom Stranger says. Now, because of her loneliness and of basically being immortal and seeing things others can't, which I can relate to, she thinks she has some kind of bond with the stranger. But as you might expect, she gets upset at the end, as women do. Although she's pretty hot, I don't know what the Phantom Stranger's problem is. Unless he's just all phantom and no man. She tries to capture him. And Xanadu fails and wonders whether to stop what she's seeing. In the end, she doesn't. And that allows the specter to be born. And that is it, really. That's all I got. I'm tired. Going to bed. Damn, I just said I was tired. I didn't really mean it. So, you know why you should buy this book, really, people? Because of the art. The first thing that struck me was I love the art. I'll open it right now. Bang! Ooh, that's a nice page. Like a collage of stuff. That's like a two-page with slices of time. I'm in the middle of the book. Well, I open to a normal page, and it's like, bang. Panel layouts, oh, excellent. You have them overlapping, cutting in, easy to read. And it's just beautiful. Everything's so, I don't know, it's simple than I'm normally seeing. Let me see. There's a lot, it's simple, but there's a lot of detail, and it's clear. I wasn't confused by what was going on, like I was in Scalped. And yet you could tell there's a hint of anime influence, which makes sense, because I think Amy is a otaku. But it's not heavily animated, influenced by anime, because I'm not a big fan of that anyway. That would have bothered me. But man, this, if I was shallow, or an artiste, I would buy this book just off the art alone. And it would be one of those books that the story could suck. But it's alright, because I'm going to just look at how pretty it is. And everyone looks different. Not like why. Everyone looks the same. So, I mentioned this 10 issues. It's not $9.99. And this is ongoing. That's a bit of a letdown. But $13 for 10 beautiful issues? What sucks is I don't think Amy's on the book anymore. Yeah, it blows. I don't know. But yeah, oh man, the price is still worth it. Even if I did get it from InStockTrades.com. However, art-wise aside, I personally didn't think I would like Madame Xanadu. Why? Because she's part of the main DCU. And I don't know anything about her. I didn't care to know anything about her. I find all their magic users, along with every superhero, to be extremely fucking powerful. So, what I knew was, she'd probably be as powerful as Dr. Fate and the demon guy, Etrigan. And then, you know, I don't know, maybe slightly. But, you know, not knowing anything about her, that worked in my favor. Look, as much as I hate prequels, because you know the ending, right? Like, Xanadu, she's going to live through all of this. You know, that's the problem, right? You know that until you get to the 20th century, she's going to be fine. But, you know, she's got a huge past. I wanted to know more about her past. It's kind of cool to go through history. Wagner got his homework right. Well, when it came to, you know, Jack the Ripper, he made me go make shit up. Because no one knows who Jack the Ripper was. But his Kubla Khan stuff, very accurate and very respectful of the Asian culture. Shocking. And then his, I forgot what else is after that. Oh, the French stuff, even the French. He didn't make the queen seem all bad. That was cool. I do have a problem, though. Because she has hooves and antlers, but she loses them post-Camelot. I don't know if she lost them because of Merlin and she doesn't have her magic, or did she get rid of him herself? And I never got the feeling as to why she continued to take the potions and live forever. It would have been nice to have her struggle with that. Whether she wanted to see the Phantom Stranger again or get her magic back, I didn't really care. But none of that is really explained. Because you would think that she doesn't have her powers anymore. Right? So if I didn't have my powers, and it was a huge part of me, I would probably be like, fuck it. I think I'll just kill myself. Or at least not kill yourself, just let yourself die like a normal mortal. He's immortal. And another problem I had, considering how rough the ages she went through were, how hot she is, she should have been raped and killed. I mean, she kind of stands out. Yeah, so whatever. But that aside, the thing is, even though it's called Madame Xanadu, at least for the first trade, it's not all Madame Xanadu's story. It's also about the Phantom Stranger, who I know a little more, because I've seen him in the Justice League cartoons. And I just read him in the JLA Avengers, I think, yeah. So, what's cool is you get a bit of an insight with the Phantom Stranger. That can work both ways, though. If too much is told about him, he's going to lose his stranger aspect. If not enough is told about him, then you're not going to care about him. And that brought up the question of, what is this book about? Is it a love story between Xanadu and the Phantom Stranger? Maybe. Is it about her trying to stop her sister? Probably. That'll probably be the overarching plot. However, the thing I like to think it about is this story is about destiny and free will. The irony is that Xanadu thinks she has free will, but she constantly fails in her attempts to change the things she sees. Now, as someone like myself, that can see things before they happen, and I know entirely too much, I've learned that changing the future and making your own destiny has very little to do with the big things, like life. It's all about the little things. It's about the tiny pushes and pulls in a certain direction, and like dominoes, you watch things play out and hope that things go in your favor and all that stuff, you know? And it's really, it's a percentage game. That's why I try to tell people. It's all percentage game. You just got a little here, a little there. Even if she's in a position to affect the major players, people with power, with influence, that shit ain't gonna work. Now, did what I just say make it sound like I'm some kind of manipulator? Yeah, probably. But I always have good intentions. Yes, I know that old fable about the devil and good intentions. Now, what surprised me is that since Xanadu goes through a whole mess of time periods and they're all good in their own way, I have no favorite one. I also have no one I really hate. They're all pretty good. That's kind of weird. Yeah, it's weird. Now, the thing I didn't much care for, maybe it's because I don't know much about him. So there's a lot of, if you're a DC fan, you will love Madame Xanadu, because there are a lot of cameos in this book. If you're a main DC fan, I'm talking about. You got the Demon Etrigan, you got the Phantom Stranger, you got Death, you got Zatanna, and you got the Spectre. Now, I don't want to say it was nice learning about the Spectre's birth, because I don't know. My limited experience with the Spectre is that he's entirely too fucking powerful. If I like to think the other things people were, No. Spectre's a lot powerful. Which makes his birth even weirder, because one cop died. You get one cop died by some crime bosses or whatever, and you get the Spectre. What? I don't get it. Now, lastly, at the end of the book, there are some nice cover galleries. Normally I hate them. I find them useless. I prefer them to be in the trades, breaking up, like cover one, cover two. Oh, I love these cover galleries. I'm looking at them now. Oh, they're so pretty. She's so hot, too. Damn, she could draw. I think she uses Photoshop. Damn, she could do some art thing. Then you got some Frank Quietly alternate cut. It's all good. It's so pretty. It's so pretty. Oh, anyways. Yeah, so that's all good. Especially, so shocked me that she did the covers. Which is funny because how often you go in a comic book store and the cover artist is the same as the interior artist? Yeah, rarely. I don't even go in comic book stores. What am I talking about? That's all I got for Madame Xanadu. You know, I'm tempted to start doing a Metacritic score. Would that help people? Do you people care about such things? I may also have to cover the past trades we did and give them a score. That's a lot of work. So I might just start doing it from now on. So, if I was to rate Madame Xanadu, I'd be tempted to give it a 5 out of 5. The only problem I have is that it's a prequel. And it's less graphic than I thought it should be. Maybe by a little bit. So, like suspense also. Fuck it, you know what? Amy Reader Hadley, she alone deserves a fucking 5 out of 5. So, Madame Xanadu, Disenchanted, has the Mark Critic score a 5 out of 5. Does that mean anything? That's a damn good book. Go get it. Alright, people. That's all I got. Thanks for listening, everyone. And hopefully a few of you will stick around and continue to listen to Mark's crazy rantings from week to week. Yeah. I'd appreciate it if you left some feedback on iTunes. And next week's pick will be Lucifer Inferno. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions, you can email me at vertigocast@gmail.com. Leave a voicemail at 206-339-6580 or go to thecomicforums.com. To see what's coming up, visit the website at vforvertigo.blogspot.com. And to hear my even more crazy rants in 140 characters, follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/hellsfire. See you next week, everybody. Goodbye.